see in this thing. I mean, he wasn't beating around the bush too much. He was cutting right to the chase. Look, here's the problems. We already talked about that last week. I mentioned that. He said, listen, this is it. You know, I'm going to tell you how it is, straight up. Does it out of love. He loves them. I mean, he led most of these people to the Lord, started the church there. So he's going to get right to the point. He reminds them and us that they are not their own, that they are bought with a price. In the first 11 verses, Paul points to how their carnality had surfaced in the church. It was really trivial disputes. He's talking to them about, they were taking, in other words, I'll give it to you plainer than he did. They were taking each other to court over trivial things, just things in the court. Somebody did something, you know, so they were taking them to lawsuits. And he brings this up. Now what he's not saying that there's never a time that you might have to take somebody else, another Christian, you might have to take them to a legal court just because things might have to be done. But for a lot of what they were doing, he said, listen, you're going to judge angels. The saints of God are going to judge angels. And what he's saying is we ought to be able to bring a dispute up between two church members, two brethren, and bring it up in the church. And let somebody, you know, let the church judge on these matters. That's what he's actually saying. This is what we ought to do. And he said, you're going out there to the world. You're going out to the lost world and letting the lost world judge you instead of letting the church, the saints of God, judge you. And he even said, let the least of the members, somebody least esteemed of the members, let them be a judge. Now, I mean, I'm sure that it would imply somebody with a spiritual mind, you know, that has the Spirit of God on them. That's who you'd want to do that. But he's just bringing this up. And he said, really, what you're doing, his point was, you're squabbling publicly about practically nothing, yet you're ignoring the moral breakdown that was going on within the church that we already talked about last week. Mentioned the guy that was having an affair with his stepmother. You know, that was going on in the church. There was a lot of other things that were going on. And so he wanted to remind them about some things, who they were, what they were, those type things right there. He said, listen, this is who you are. This is to whom you belong is really what he talked about today. And so what happens is when we get our eyes focused on something other than the glory of God, if we get our mind focused on something other than the vision that God has, what's our commission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Man, ain't hardly nobody doing that. Nobody's worried about that. And, you know, they said if you get your mind on those things and you're missing, you've lost the vision for what God has for you. And so what it wraps up to, it's self-centeredness. They're self-centered instead of God-centered. They're not centered on the things that have, you know, for God. I was hoping tonight. I'll tell you what, I appreciate y'all hauling the chairs out, but I'm a little disappointed. I'll tell you why. Because I'm the pastor of this church. You put out a plea. Hey, we're getting new carpet. It's saving the church a lot of money. Come out and help us with the chairs. Who do we got that we normally don't have? I mean, you know what? How many more people? You know why? Self-centeredness, man. Not interested in it. Boy, you go into King's Dominion, they'll be right there. You got a dinner. Mikey said I should have told them we was having finger foods instead of we was having a chair moving and we'd have more people show up, right? I mean, that's about it. I mean, people, but you know, when we had a revival, we had more people that came when Brother Ron Lynch was here, they came back out. So tell me you can't do it. You can do it. Huh? But they just don't care. They're not interested in those things right there. So the faithful few, us, we're going to do it. I don't let it get me down too bad. It's just disappointing. It's not, you know, not the end of the world. We're going to get it done. Me and Sherry get it done. If everybody else goes home, we'll get it done. You know, we'll bring it in. We'll have a new carpet and all that. They want to enjoy that. But why is it like that? Because people get self-centered. They're worried about their deal, their focus, not God's business. I'm going to tell you what, man, God's business is, if it's not before your business, you are backwards. Huh? It's backed up. Huh? It's backed up. You're backwards there if God's business don't come before your business. I'm going to tell you, I mow a couple other lawns. Guess what lawn gets done last? Mine. I told Margie the other day, I mowed her. She goes, man, I don't know how you get in there. I said, well, I'm going to go home. I got to mow my grass. She said, you hadn't mowed your grass. I said, no, I don't mow my grass. I'm going to take care of what, you know, yours and whoever else I mow. The other lady, I mow her grass. I'm going to get that first. Put other people's stuff first. I used to mow the church's grass. The church's grass got mowed before my grass did. If I couldn't get it done because it rained, the church's grass got mowed and my grass didn't get mowed. Put God's business first. That's the way it ought to be. I felt that way about it. Still feel that way about it. So they had got occupied with self. They were self-centered. They were worrying about those things. They were short-sighted as far as the vision of God. And they were forgetting to whom they belonged, and they were forgetting what and who they were as well. So he went on in verse 9 and he said, be not deceived in verse 9. Deception takes place in the mind. See, that's where we get deceived, in the mind. So Paul deals, the very first thing, I really only have 2 points for you. Paul deals with the mind. That's why he said, know ye not. Where do you know? You know in the mind. It's, you know, in the mind, in the heart. I know the heart goes together with that, but we know in the mind. He said, know ye not. Verses 9 through 10, just for sake of time, in chapter 6, 9 and 10. Well, he went on and he said, be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He said, don't be deceived. These people aren't, and you know, why do you tell a church that? Why do you tell a church that right there? I mean, wouldn't that go without saying? Does anybody here know that none of this stuff, does anybody know that, or don't know that this stuff is sinful? Does anybody not know that? Don't you already know that? Didn't you think them people in that church already knew that? So why did Paul have to say it? I'll tell you why. Because in the church, there was fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. They were in the church. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been wasting his breath. Why do I got to tell it if y'all already aren't doing it? Huh? Why do I got to say it? He said they was in the church already. That's why I had to tell it. And he said, be not deceived. Why do you tell somebody to be not deceived if they're not deceived? Goes without saying, right? Goes without saying. Doesn't have to say it. So he's got their mind. And so we look at this list of sins. Some of them shouldn't even be mentioned in the church, but he had to mention it. And these are those that belong to Christ. But somehow there was a breakdown morally in the church, and there's a breakdown morally in the church in the world today as well. Already mentioned, like I said, the fair last week with the guy with his mother, his stepmother, and the church. Listen, today I was talking to another pastor. The amount of people that think social drinking is okay. Huh? They think it's all right, but get quiet on that right there. Social drinking. Can't witness anybody with a drink in your hand. They ain't going to listen to you. Huh? You got to buy it. You lost your testimony. Oh, man, listen. They think it's okay. Premarital sex. Rampant. Rampant in the church. It's not okay. He said, be not deceived. What does it say? Look what it said. I'm giving you the truth. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither. And he lists them all, shall inherit the kingdom of God. He ain't going to heaven. If you ain't going to heaven, you're going to hell. That's what he said. Right there. Look, premarital sex, adultery, homosexuality, rampant in that day, rampant in this day. 14 of the first 15 Roman emperors were homosexuals or bisexuals. About the time Paul was writing this, Nero was about to marry a boy. Sound like today, doesn't it? Right on the headlines today, isn't it? Rampant in that day. Effeminate. Says effeminate. I was telling Sherry Lee, I watched the John, I told you this morning, I gave you a little bit of my message. John Wayne, man, he's rolling over in his grave right now. If he's looking around to what's going on in the world today, huh? Rolling over in his grave, huh? Man, we need some men, you know? We need some men. I'm not saying, you know, you got to be brutal to anybody, but good night, man up, man alive. We see effeminate, see man, and manhood's under attack. Satan attacks everything that God designed. And buddy, he went after manhood in the Garden of Eden. Satan went after manhood and man's authority and man's position in the Garden of Eden, man. He went after him right there. But listen here, here's another little note. That word right there, effeminate, has another meaning that we can apply to the church in another way. It can mean flabby or soft. Soft. It's used in another place in the New Testament. It's only found in two places in the New Testament. And the other place, and I mentioned this morning too, when God sent the forerunner of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, guess what? He sent a man. Huh? He was a man's man. He wore rough clothing, camel hair. He ate locusts and wild honey. He was out in the wilderness. I like that guy. He was out in the wilderness, man. He was a man. Jesus, When they would go out and hear him preach, and Jesus asked the crowd in Luke 7:25, he said, what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft, there that word is right there again, raiment. Soft raiment. It's the same word used for effeminate over there. A man in soft raiment. Now, what did you expect to see? Some self-indulgent, spineless, limp-wristed poppy picker. Long-haired poppy picker, Harold used to say. That's what he used to say about what Jesus is not. What did you expect to see? A reed shaking in the wind. Some little wimpy thing. No, he went out there and John the Baptist was a man. And he told him about it. Soft. And this is the church today, really. This is the church today. Bunch of wimps. Oh, them chairs are so heavy. We got to go down there and pick them chairs up. And then spiritually speaking, no dynamic vision for the things of God. We talked this morning about, the armor of God. And here's the thing. I put a star by this. That means it's important. No conviction of our calling. I'm afraid to talk to somebody about Jesus. I'm afraid they might call me a name. They might make fun of me. They might get mad and walk away. Huh? Wimpy, so what? So what? We got the truth, man. It's just to have on the armor of God, man. No sense of discipleship. We see that in the church today. Listen, I said this morning in Sunday school, we're called to battle. We're called to be warriors. The Bible says to put on the whole armor of God. And when Joshua, when he saw the Lord, it was the pre-incarnate Christ he saw, and he saw the captain of the host of the Lord standing, the pre-incarnate Christ, and it said that he saw a man standing with his sword drawn. Man, why do you have a sword drawn? Brother, you getting ready to use it. I mean, you know what? A sword isn't worth a hoot inside the sheath, in the scabbard, I guess you call it, technical term. A sword's not worth anything in there. You pull the sword out when you're getting ready to use a sword. And, buddy, that's the picture right there. That's our armor, right? The sword, matter of fact, didn't say nothing about a sheath in the armor of God, does it? It just said the sword of the Spirit. Doesn't say, you know, we got the sword drawn. And so here it is on this, but we're soft. We've gotten soft, man. We're effeminate when it comes to the thing of God because we're self-indulgent and we're self-centered. And so the things of God go by the wayside. So Paul talks to him about that. He said, listen, I'm going to bring this thing to remembrance in your mind there. And then he goes and he speaks about the body in verses 13 through 18. And like I said, just to save a little bit of time, I won't read all that again. But, you know, he laid down some principal things there along there in those verses. And what he said, know ye not, he's laying down some things that we need to know. In verse 12, he says, this is one thing that's a little off the beaten path. He said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, there's a lot of things, what we can say that in plain old language is. There's a lot of things today, you know what, that we could lawfully do. Yeah, there's a lot of things that we could lawfully do, but that doesn't mean because it's lawful that we ought to do it. There's a lot of things, you know, one of the good illustrations in the Bible was this. And Paul talked, one of the things, he talked about this in another place. And it had to come with eating meats. It mentioned meats for the body and meats for the belly. About eating meats, serve to idols. Well, see, Paul, he didn't believe in idols. He knew an idol was nothing, right? We know that. You could say, well, this is my idol. We know this is done an idol. And somebody offered up a T-bone steak to the, you know, they would bring the meat, a nice old cut of meat, and lay it out there before the idol and do a little hocus-pocus ceremony or whatever. And then there that T-bone was. And Paul basically said, I don't have a problem eating it because I know the idol is nothing. It's not a real idol. And I don't believe it. It's not in my mind. But he said, you know what he went on to say? I'm just paraphrasing the whole thing. I wouldn't eat it if it was a stumbling block. Now, a lot of the people that he was talking to came out of idolatry. To them, it was like they were still a little, you know, worried about that. And so Paul said, listen, it's lawful for me to eat it because I'm not breaking a law. He goes, but I wouldn't eat it if it was going to be a stumbling block to you who just came out of idolatry. If it was really going to be upsetting to you, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I'm looking out. Who's he looking out for? Himself? He's looking out for them. He's looking out for them. See? So there's things that aren't always expedient just because we can do it. If it doesn't help somebody, matter of fact, it might be something that would hurt somebody, then don't do it. And buddy, when we look at if we go by the laws of this land, there's a whole lot of things that are legal right there. We got no business doing that. You know, abortion's one of them. Same-sex marriage, the type thing right there. And so, doesn't just because it's lawful doesn't mean it's right to do the thing. Because we look at worldly attitudes no inhibitions that we see in the world. There's hardly any, you know, there's a lot of things. You know, adultery in the Old Testament, you know how they took care of that? You didn't need a divorce lawyer. You need an undertaker. It puts you to death. Put you to death for blaspheming God. Taking God's name in vain, you'd be put to death for that. I mean, the undertaker business would have been the thing to be in. Huh? It'd have been booming. Business would have been booming, man. Huh? Right? But not today. It's nothing. There's nothing illegal about that stuff. Nothing illegal there. And so we think about that attitude, that worldly attitude. The reason that sexual sin was and is rampant. Because people get their philosophy from the world that's on around them. I saw Jamie at the flea market yesterday. She's telling me they went down to the drive-in, took Riley, I think, down to the drive-in to see that Barbie movie. PG. Jamie, here's Jamie talking. She said, that thing's not fit for kids to go down there and see. PG rated. She said, why, how did it get that way? How did it get, I remember when I was a kid, PG was pretty clean, you know, Mickey Mouse, Daffy Duck, Bugs Bunny. I still watch that stuff. Oh, no. I'm not a man. But PG, how did PG get to where it's like that? Because of the world philosophy. It's the worldly wisdom that we see in the world right there, the influence of the world. And we get advice from the world and the worldly. What kind of advice are you going to get from the worldly? Worldly advice. That's right. It's not going to be godly advice. Man, listen, we need advice from godly people, the Word of God, based on the Word of God. But look what he said in verse 13. He said, the meat's for the belly and the belly for meats, and God shall destroy both of them. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. That's what it says right there. See, you know what one day is going to happen? We're not going to have any physical desires. We won't have those same physical desires. We won't have them in heaven. I don't know that we're going to even have to eat. I don't know that we're going to have that. I mean, we're not going to have those things, and it's going to be taken out. So we're not created. We're not created for life down here. We're not created for that. Now that we're saved, see, we're really created for life up there. We got something else going on. And what is it God said? God said, listen, your body is mine. Our body is God's. We're to glorify God in our body, not just in our lips, not just in our works, in our body. We're going to be judged one day, listen here, for what we've done in the body. Look what it says. Here, I'll put this down. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 9 and 10 says, wherefore we labor that we present, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There, the judgment seat. What do you do at a judgment seat? You get judged, right? That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Huh? Done in his body. What have you done with your body? See, sometimes we think sin could be just in our mind. No, it can be. We can sin with the body. So what sense, in what sense is the body for the Lord that it said there in verse 13 in 1 Corinthians 6:13? Well, that means that certain habits and practices must stop because I'm a Christian. Huh? I don't know, it's hard to find this belief. It's hard to believe, man. I quit smoking dope, man, when I got saved. I mean, it took a little while. God had to work on me on that. Huh? I just don't do that no more because I got saved. I quit drinking because I got saved. I quit going in places like that. Matter of fact, after I got saved, I slipped in one time. Man, my heart rate went up to about 100 beats a minute. I mean, I wasn't doing anything. I was just in there. I was so out of place. I mean, I wasn't comfortable. I'm telling you, man, I was just like, I felt like a square peg in a round hole, like I said this morning. Maybe I said a round peg in a square hole, but either way. And I went in there, man, and my heart was racing, man. It was like, man, you shouldn't be in here. And man, I got out. I was, man, glad of it, too. I got out of there. There's certain habits, certain practices that I stop because I'm saved. Representing God, man. Got to be conviction, right? I mean, if we're saved, how can we sin and God not convict us? How can there not be conviction in our heart? Well, there ain't no conviction in my heart. Well, then get saved. That'll settle that for you. You get saved, there'll be conviction in your heart. You'll know that. You'll feel that. We the practices of the world. You know what the world says? Well, you know, if it feels good, do it. That was an old saying from the 70s. The thing to do. That doesn't have any part in a Christian life. Mm-mm. Not any part in a Christian life. We ought to be so different, so different. And if we're saved, we are. We find in scriptures, listen here, that God works through a human body. All right? It was a body, in a body that man sinned, in a body that we sin, in a body that Jesus came to the earth. It was in a body that he lived triumphantly, in a body that he died and rose, and it's in a body that his spirit comes and lives. In our body. Satan works through the body too. Huh? Satan works, look at them demons, man. What, they wanted to be in something, right? Now they wanted to be in something. Listen, Satan works through a body. He counterfeits everything God does. And that's really not counterfeit. If Satan comes and lives in your body, I'm going to tell you one thing. Jesus is not there. Jesus isn't present. It's not a counterfeit. It's real. It's real. So should we as a Christian take that which is a member of Christ, it said that our body is a member of Christ. And a member meaning like arm, leg, you know. Should we take that which is a member of Christ and give it to some unworthy use? No. To use a body by which God's will is done and yield it to the purpose of Satan. Not to do that, right? We know this stuff, right? Know ye not. Know ye not. Don't you know it? Don't you know it? Glorify God in your body. And in your spirit, 19 and 20, 6, 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Self-centeredness, selfish folks. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, sometimes we get so spiritual, we think everything's done in the spirit. We see the body. He's talking about the body being involved. This is down to the brass tacks of the whole thing. So there's something that we need to know. Glorify God in your body and your spirit. Paul takes the Corinthians and us back to the place where everything was taken care of. You see in verse 11, and such were some of you. This is what he said. When he read off that list of things, he said, such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We've been washed. That's all been taken care of. See, he brings it back into remembrance. Now, I got to believe that some of this other stuff was starting to have an influence. I don't believe everybody in the church was falling off into that. But I bet you something, we already know something was going on in there. We already knew adultery was going on in there. That's why the guy, and we go back to chapter 5. And so that spirit was sneaking in, and he said, listen, we were washed. We've been washed by the blood, man. We've been the power of the blood. Man, listen, what a warning. What a warning, a wake-up call for the church today. Man, I'm telling you what, and I think this is it. I think, you know what's happened? That old soft thing, it's got into the preachers too. Huh? And now we just want to tell everybody how great they are. We're afraid somebody going to get mad. Somebody get their feathers ruffled up. And they might go out and there goes somebody's giving down the drain. And then, oh, Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, we worried about that, worried about offending somebody, worried somebody's going to get mad. Listen, man, we need to get right. Just get right, you won't get mad. You know that old saying, say, well, you rub a cat the wrong way. You know, you can't rub a cat the wrong way. Well, if the cat turn around, you won't be rubbing him the wrong way. That's what my pastor used to always say that. Let the cat turn around then, huh, if he gets rubbed the wrong way. And so sometimes I think we got soft, man. We got to say, look, this is what the Word of God says. Man, we got to get on track with the Word of God. And the whole effect is, listen, you missed out on the blessings of God. You missed out on the peace of God. You miss out on glorifying God. You miss out on the power of God, which is a real big problem because now your witness is nil. It's not non-existent. It's a negative witness. You know, it's a negative effect on the world because they see such a wimpy weak testimony or a zero testimony or bad testimony from us. And so the power, it affects the power that we should have, and by not being obedient to God. And so, listen, it's a wake-up call. We've let our standards down. Man, when I got saved, and I know my pastor was a little bit legalistic, but crying out loud, we'd probably be better off to err on that side than we would the other side of the line, honestly. But he talked a lot about it. Standards, man, standards. We had standards for things, man. Standards for how you act, talk, look, where you go, what you do. I mean, there was standards, and it's taught in the Bible, in the Word of God, and we've gotten away from it, man. It's this social gospel. It's a psychological buildup of people, trying to make them build up. And what happens is their mind is deceived about what's really going on in our life. And so we've let our standards down. We're playing with the world and with our bodies and letting the Spirit of God catch up, or the spirit of the world catch us. And so, but the Word of God said, Paul said, listen, don't know ye not. That's really a reminder. Don't you remember? You know all this stuff. I didn't told anybody in here nothing new, I don't think, other than maybe you didn't know that word was soft. But I hadn't told you nothing new. I mean, everything in here I know, but do you not know? Well, we do know, but sometimes we forget. And sometimes it gets pushed on the back burner, and we forget about that. We shouldn't. Listen, this is what Romans 12:1 said. I'll leave you with this right here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. There it is. Your bodies. Now, I know that includes the mind, but it's not the mind only. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Here it is. Look, I got it underlined. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God said, listen, this isn't unreasonable. It's not unreasonable to expect you not to run around half naked with everything you got hanging out. It's not unreasonable to be out to ask you not to be drinking and being drunk and doing drugs and having affairs and fornication. It's not unreasonable. These aren't unreasonable things. It's not unreasonable. Watching your mouth, whether it be gossip or cursing or whatever it may be, it's not unreasonable for God to expect this. Why? Because His Holy Spirit's dwelling in the life of the believer. Holy Spirit wouldn't lead us that way, right? So we're filled with the Spirit of God. So here it is, man. Some old hard words, man. This is old true stuff right here. It's true stuff. And the altar calls on messages like this aren't too good because everybody thinks, man, I don't want nobody to think I've been doing that stuff. I ain't going down there. Man. Have a whole message on homosexuality, nobody will come to the altar. But it's just what God, it's what the Word of God says. And Paul said, listen, this problem in this church is not any different than what we see in the world today among Christian people. So we got a warning from Paul, man. He helps us out, man. Get back on track, man. Get our armor on. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, Lord. I know sometimes your word steps on our toes, and we thank God for that. Lord, it gets us back in line. And we need that most of the time. And Lord, so thank you for speaking to us through your word. Help us, Lord, to just think about our mission, Lord, and wake up each day thinking about who we are, to whom we belong, what we are, Lord, and just think about our vision for you. How are we going to glorify you today? Lord, how are we going to fulfill the commission that you gave us today? Lord, how are we going to do that tomorrow? As we go out the doors, help us think about that in the mornings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Hymn number 29, At the Cross.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
All right, well, we're going to be dismissed in prayer. And like I said, I need that thing out there. Somebody will get the money off all that money, weigh that thing down. Put that out there in that corner. We got to get this unhooked and out. And this thing is an odd thing. We might use